Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Doug Deacon with us killers. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Apparently, Deke is also the president of the Mary Tyler Moore fan club. Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you get the reference when Jim said that, Deke?
Yeah. Sometimes he comes out of the clear blue sky with stuff that I can't remember. Now,
what the funniest thing about it is when he was on with Ken and Lima this morning and he explained where he got the reference, he remembered the details from that show. That show was 45 years ago.
I'm still in concussion protocol. I can't remember. I do remember, though, the last time we won a game in November was back in 2014, I think.
Yep. Against the Falcons. Wasn't it against the Falcons? Yeah. Mike Smith blew that game with some bad clock management.
It was down there.
And then the year they got in the playoffs, that was Jim's famous Run William Run call.
Right.
And that was against the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
We got to get these guys on the schedule more often.
Move them in the division.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it was a fun one, Deke. Sorry, I tried to get there.
Yeah, we missed you.
I know, man. It was a wild Sunday, but I did find myself watching the entire game on my iPad in the Baltimore airport.
And what did you think when it came out of that full house backfield?
Loved it. I thought it was creative. You know, I thought that they seemed loose, Doug. And you know, not being there, it was killing me. But you were. Did you get the sense that the vibe by the team just felt a little bit different?
Yeah, I think, you know, they came out with a lot of energy, and I think they came out with the, hey, you know, people are thinking we're not going to win this game, and we're going to show them. And they played a pretty complete football game. I mean, they did. On both sides of the football. They had the great goal line stand. The offense, you know, other than the pass by the running back Hilliard, you know, they didn't turn the ball over, and they actually got two turnovers and they converted one into a touchdown. So, you know, just across the board, and you know, even in the special teams, you know, you got to give it to Colquitt. He pinned them back three times inside the 20.
Yeah, I think this is their best win in 4 years, Deke. You know, even the Ravens game, that wasn't domination. That wasn't the offense didn't play great in that game. In this game, special teams, offense, defense, across the board, all three units played really well, and this game was over going to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, you know, they scored touchdowns and didn't kick field goals. And that's, you know, something that's kind of haunted them all season long where they'll get down there and they'll end up kicking a field goal while the other team goes down and they score touchdowns. But, you know, yesterday they got it into the end zone.
What did you think about Baker, how he started the game? He you know, he was, I double-checked, it was 12 for 12 to start the game. And he looked so, like, comfortable and in rhythm. It was almost like it reminded me watching that game, the way it started, like watching him when he was at Oklahoma last year.
Yeah, and his, you know, his incompletions, I think two of them were to Jarvis. I mean, he was definitely on, you know, and like he said, he woke up, he had a different attitude. He had a good feeling about it, and he went out and did it. The zip on him, I mean, you know, everybody thought, you know, what's he going to do when it gets a little colder? Well, he threw a little harder.
Yeah, no doubt, Deke. And I thought the throw on the run to Higgins in the end zone was a great throw. I thought the throw to Njoku was a great throw, the one where he was – I mean, and Njoku was, like, dragging three guys with him for a few extra yards.
Yeah, you know, and the one to Higgins, I think he was a secondary receiver. I think he was looking for Landry on the crossing route, and it was covered, and then all of a sudden he got flushed in the pocket, and he made the great throw. And the other thing, you know, about the defense, you know, the Falcons came in, they were tops in the league on third down conversions, and they did, I think they held them to about 33% on the afternoon.
I think what the exciting thing is, and I'll grant you, Deke, some of this is potential, maybe I'm getting a little carried away, but John Dorsey is the best GM this team has had in forever. Yeah. Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback they've had in forever. I think Nick Chubb is the best running back they've had in forever, certainly since we've been on the air. People are disagreeing with me, but I believe, and it, right now with him, it's a lot more potential. He hasn't put it all together. But I think David Njoku, I don't care. I know Gary Barnage had, you know, one good year. It was a fluke. He'd never done anything else the rest of his career. I think he's probably their best tight end they've had. Miles Garrett's going to be, if he stays healthy, by the end of his fifth year, maybe sixth, will be the all-time sack leader in Browns history. On and on and on. Denzel Ward, I mean, Joe Schobert, they've got some. And again, the bar's low, especially the last decade or so. But there's a lot of guys that are the best Brown at this position in a long time on this team.
Oh, yeah, there's a tremendous upside. I mean, the talent that they have here. And, you know, it's a young football team. And John Dorsey, you know, obviously, you know, they went out and they got Carlos Hyde, and he's kind of a banger in between the tackles. And then all of a sudden they trade him, and you're going, well, you kind of gives you a little head jerk. But then all of a sudden you see why, because he knew of the potential that Chubb had. And the kid runs strong, but he also runs fast. I mean, he's got both gears.
You know, we were talking a little bit here earlier today, Deke, about Greg Williams and the job he's done, and it seems like the team's got a different vibe, and they really are buying into what he's selling right now. Is there, like, what's your percentage chance you think that he could actually get the job, and what does he have to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, the more wins he gets, the tougher it's, you know, going to be for them to, you know, go someplace else. But with that said, you got, what, 6 weeks, six games left, and you know, yeah, I think, you know, you've got to win the majority of those games to really get a legitimate shot. But with that said, you know, if yesterday was an indication of what he can, you know, do, I would say he's going to get a good look.
We're talking with Doug Deacon, Browns analyst. Deke, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I don't believe Greg Williams is the long-term answer, I think, starting over at his age. I don't know if that's – I think you want to get a younger coach who – can grow with the quarterback. But, you know, I've been a little harsh about it, so I'm going to let him, you know, let it play out and see how it goes. But clearly the team is clearly the bad blood or whatever it was between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson was a major negative for this team, and getting the both of them the hell out of here was a huge thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a fresh voice, and I think, you know, one of the things that it's a different voice. The Greg Williams we hear now in the press conferences and the Greg Williams we heard, you know, when he was on Hard Knocks screaming and yelling at the guys, he's a different guy. He's a head coach, and he's taken on that role. But with that said, you know, the last 6 weeks, it's going to be the development of these young players. And, you know, yesterday was a big step when you look at the impact that, you know, the draft class had. And then you throw in, you know, some of the guys that they had from the year before. You know, I guess one of the things that kind of surprised me yesterday was, you know, in that last series, I don't think Myles Garrett was out on the field, which kind of, I thought, well, you know, here's finally a chance where, you know, these guys get to tee off and just go after the quarterback. But I think they were giving him a little bit of a rest, but, you know, they were able to get him off the field, and they got the victory. So that's all that matters.
Doug, how important is this win going into the bye week for momentum, for guys to believe and, you know, having something to build off of?
Oh, I think it's big. I mean, it makes the bye week, you know, a lot more enjoyable, that's for sure. And, you know, the other thing about the game yesterday, when's the last time you saw a Browns team run the ball more than they threw it? I mean,
been a long time.
They ran it like 29 times and only threw it 21. I mean, that's playing to, you know, your strengths. And yesterday, you know, what it did was it really helped the pass protection because there was no sacks in the football game.
Deke, what a great move by John Dorsey trading Carlos Hyde, because let's face it, he was clearly the third best running back on this team, and yet the coaching staff was using him as the premier back. This combination of Chubb and Duke Johnson, it could be really special, I believe.
Well, yeah, and you look at it, you know, they brought in the guys that had some experience to show the young guys, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you know, Hyde, you know, they were going to show the young backs and young quarterback how to play. Well, you know, as soon as you got to the point where you said, hey, we got to get these guys in, of course, with Baker was because of an injury, but Baker didn't blink when he got in there, and he just went full steam ahead.
Deke, who we got left here? We got the Texans and, let's see.
We got Cincinnati twice.
Cincinnati twice, Baltimore. The Panthers. You know, we were talking a little earlier about, you know, hey, the Browns haven't really beat playoff contender? I mean, the Falcons probably
I mean, the Falcons and Ravens are both playoff contenders. I'm just trying to think, like, the last time they beat a team that ended up making the playoffs was the Bengals in 2014. And the Falcons and Ravens are probably both not making the playoffs this year.
I want to see the Browns beat a team that's going to the
playoffs. The Texans are going to the playoffs.
Yeah, Texans.
And the Panthers are going to the playoffs.
If they can win one of those games, I'd feel a hell of a lot better about this team. But you know what? The thing is, I think you go into all these games, the final six games of the year, and you say the Browns can absolutely win or at least be in every game and compete.
The Browns are still going to be an underdog probably in every game the rest of the year, except for depending on how the Bengals are doing. Maybe the Bengals at home,
but
they'll be favored, but it won't be big spreads.
If the Browns, they're not going to win all their games. We know that. But if the Browns won any of those games on the remaining six, you wouldn't be shocked.
No, I think
I'd be
it's the NFL and the way
not.
That the Browns
I guess
play.
Not.
To know that they have the ability to do that tells me that they can do it.
To be fair, I wouldn't be shocked if outside of the Raiders or the Giants or the Niners, I wouldn't be shocked if anybody beat anybody, but it's good that they're not in that direct class anymore.
This is different.
Yeah, I mean, I still think I'd be surprised if they won at Houston or beat Carolina, but I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Bengals at least one game. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, depending on where the Ravens are at the end of the season or Denver. Denver's not very good. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won those games.
Yeah, I mean, and you're looking at Baltimore. They're talking about playing Jackson at quarterback. I guess Flacco hurt his hip.
Yeah.
I mean, in Cincinnati, I mean, they got rolled pretty hard yesterday.
Yeah.
And I've never, you know, thought they were the true contender. Obviously, Pittsburgh is the team to beat in our division.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did get a tie from them. We did get smoked a second time. But, you know, those are experiences. And this team, I think, you know, it's probably a year away from really contending.
Yes.
But this the confidence you get from these wins, that's something that you just can't teach.
Even if they can win, you know, two more games this year and you end up with five, compared to what it's been, that would be huge to end up with, you know, only 10 losses this year. If they finished 5-10-1, that would be, considering how it started and everything with the coaching, that wouldn't be bad. It would be a good springboard potentially, because I think next year with the right coach and another offseason with John Dorsey, you know, getting some depth on defense, getting another wide receiver, you know, tightening up the offensive line, I think next year we'll be talking about him as a real playoff contender.
Well, I agree with you. I think next year is, you know, and guys make a big jump from their first to second year. And, you know, with the young players that they got this year in the draft, I mean, Avery yesterday was a factor. I mean, he's, you know, they're working him in certain situations. And, you know, they've got a tremendous upside to this roster. And they got money, you know, in free agency they can spend. So, I mean, and they got all their draft picks for the most part. So, you know, John Dorsey has done a great job in a short period of time.
Doug Deacon is with us, Browns analyst. Doug, the defense we talked about was a lot better yesterday. I think a lot had to do with the fact that you got Joe Schobert back, your quarterback, your defense. And remember, Greg Williams gave Demarius Randle the game off 2 weeks ago, his first game. He said, I need him healthy. I think both those guys made a huge impact in this game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Schobert is, you know, he's the quarterback of it, and he had everybody, you know, lined up. And, you know, that's a tough offense to play with against when you look at their skilled position players. I mean, especially at the wide receiver. Julio got his 100 yards. But, you know, with that said, you know, for the most part, they kept the running game in check. And, you know, I think, you know, Greg Williams understood that, you know, Randle had taken and tried to milk as much as out of it as he could without getting taking a week off. And taking that week off was, I think, instrumental to, you know, his playing yesterday.
No doubt. And, we were talking about Myles Garrett before, Deke. I mentioned him briefly, and I said he has a chance to become the Browns' all-time sack leader. Now, to be fair, as Tim points out on Twitter, sack didn't become an official stat until Clay Matthews' fifth season, I believe. I think 82 was the first year it became an official stat, and his rookie year was 78. So I don't know how many more sacks he would have to add to his 62 total. But still, I mean, Myles Garrett, I don't know if you knew this, Deke. He's already 16. Again, anybody played before 1982, it's different. But since 82, he is already 15th on the Browns' all-time sack list. And by the end of next year, he'll be in the top. He'll probably be 7th.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, of course, the other part of that equation is teams didn't throw the ball as much as they do today. So
that's true.
The opportunities, you know, there's more there. But with that said, you know, I can think of, you know, one defensive line where we had Jack Gregory before they traded him to the Giants. Jack went to the Giants and led the league in sacks. Jerry Shirk was several time, you know, Pro Bowl player, and Jerry, I think, had five sacks in one game or four. And I mean, there's been guys that had sacks, but not to the quantity that, you know, Miles has been doing in such a short time.
Why is Clay Matthews not getting no love for the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I mean, to me, when you play 17 years and you play at a high standard for 17 years like he did, you definitely need to go in. And it'd be a shame if his son goes in before he does.
Great stuff, D. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Thanks for joining us, man.
Okay,
thanks,
guys.
All right.
Hey, glad to talk to you after a victory. Finally.
Yes.
It is fun.
Maybe you'll get two in a row for the first time in forever. Deke, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.